My name is Jerry. I'm a CPA. I've been a CPA for over 40 years, practicing in Florida. I had my own office. Had a good time serving clients in the accounting field. We were heavy in taxes in addition to the traditional accounting services. A couple of years ago, I sold a piece of real estate and was facing a big capital gains tax, and that concerned me. And out of curiosity, I went to the web searching for ideas to minimize the tax bite. I don't remember the search terms I used, but I stumbled into a website pitching the idea that citizens of the 50 union states, and I'm just paraphrasing what I had thought, you know, a year and a half ago, that the citizens of the 50 union states are not liable for Subtitle A income taxes. I downloaded every treatise on the site that I was looking at and read everything that I could. I couldn't believe what I was reading. My reaction was, what a shock. My feelings went from chagrin to enragement. Chagrin at not knowing the truth for all those years, and enraged at not having been told about it in tax courses in college nor in tax seminars that I would attend year after year, in continuing education courses. To save time researching the code in practice, we seldom look at the regulations. There was a lot of words in those regulations, and being a busy person on a day-to-day basis, sometimes we didn't have time to read all that. So we would shortcut and refer to sometimes the instructions on the IRS forms or read IRS publications, occasionally reading revenue rulings and things of that nature, that I would later find out that it was similar to looking at the fox guarding the hen house. All this time, what I was doing was reading municipal law that pertained only to the District of Columbia in the U.S. territories, and not even questioning the applicability of these laws to our clients. The transition from darkness to enlightenment was an exhilarating experience. I have learned more law, constitutional, statutory, treasury regulations, case law, principles of legislation, and more in the past year and a half than I learned in the previous 40 years of practicing accounting. Sure, I had a reasonable and broad experience with the code, most of us did, but I never realized it didn't apply to me or my clients. The most satisfying part of the entire experience was meeting, either in person or over the phone, many of the activist researchers in what is referred to as the tax honesty movement. I have been overwhelmed at the quality of research conducted and reduced to writing and made available to others on their websites. There are necessarily some disagreements among the leadership and doctrinal theories or interpretations of the law, but there's also sufficient agreement among the serious and qualified researchers to guide the sovereign state citizens in doing their own corroborating research and reaching a proper conclusion as to any obligation each would have or not have under the federal income tax laws. I'm grateful to all the folks whose websites provided me with a wealth of information, which together with my own independent research was sufficient for me to reach my own conclusion as to whether or not I am a taxpayer. Only the individual, after doing his or her own corroborating research, can make that decision. One final comment: I am convinced that I am not a taxpayer. There was one piece of the puzzle, though, that was still missing for me. I was concerned about how to act or react if summoned to appear before one of the United States District Courts. My question was, why were citizens who were not subject to the law in the first place tried, convicted, and sent to jail? it was a question of jurisdiction and under what article of the Constitution the court was established. I recently learned about the research of Dr. Edward Rivera, an attorney in California. Dr. Rivera has done extensive research, as I understand, in Title 28 of the United States Code, which established the judicial court system of the United States. And the voluminous documents of research material, beginning with the Constitution and the Judiciary Act of 1789, prove the district courts were territorial, having been established under Article 4 of the Constitution, and not under Article 3 as falsely represented by the government. This caused a dilemma for the uninformed citizen on how to challenge the system. And that was my situation at the time when I read this. Dr. Rivera has teamed with Chris Hansen of Set M Group to explain and present the conclusions of their research together with all the evidence gathered and make it available in electronic book form. If you're interested, you can learn the basics of the issues involved by visiting Dr. Rivera's website, edrivera.com. The complete works of the research project, including the book, What Happened to Justice, together with all the supporting evidence, books, that was accumulated by Dr. Rivera and his research, and they're all available now at setm.org. These works are the crown jewel, in my mind, concluding my research in this field. The book with the evidence is the most prolific and thorough effort on a subject I have experienced to date. My questions about the district court have been answered. It's been a very interesting study, particularly in this field, looking at the judiciary code. I have thoroughly appreciated everything that I've looked at over the web for the last year and a half. And I don't know what would have happened to me if I had not stumbled into this. It's been intriguing and an interesting study, not only in the tax concerns, but how our government is actually organized, situated, and how it operates.